For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, folks? It's another edition of Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. It is I am here. I'm the voice, the disembodied voice you hear. You can find me on the threads, the blue skies, the Twitters, the Instagrams, whatever it is. Who trusts you? HUTRN Superman. Or you can number follow the podcast account at Jazz High Notes number 2. That's at Jazz High Notes number 2. We got a pretty big show here. Let's start off with he goes this since he 49s. What's up, Jared Barker?
How much? How you doing?
Oh yeah, we're hanging out. We got lots of jazz talk. A little late night here. We got Logan up there in Idaho. What's up, Dragon Swatch?
Yeah, Jazz High Notes number 2. Similar to our opinions. Steaming piles of shit.
number two, indeed. We got to make like 8 new podcast accounts on all these new social medias that we got going, and we're bringing him back. It's been we were talking about a couple years since he's been back. I don't know his Twitter handle right off bat, but what's up, Mark?
At Mask Marv.
It's great
to be back on the show.
I can't remember the last time that you were on. It was a long time ago. I think we were talking about like Bojan and Mike Conley stuff from back then. So, if you want to do some online betting on the summer league games, you probably could. You can try to go to Bet Online. It's your number one source for all your betting needs. Get your latest odds, lines, and matchups reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. Bet Online continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games to play right now from your phone, like in Vegas, like Mark. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, that's BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. Now we got big news. Summer League in Salt Lake just ended. We didn't get to see Taylor Hendricks or Bryce Sensabaugh. Got saw some Keontae George, a lot of Ochai Agbaji. I mean, it's Summer League. I don't know. I mean, it was on K-Jazz, so I don't know how, Logan, you were able to watch it. Mark, you're currently in Vegas right now. You're currently on Fremont Street with the Showgirls. So I don't know how you guys were able to watch out of market. If it was, I think it was like on ESPN2 or NBA TV even. So, if you guys have any quick thoughts about Summer League, Mark, anything?
It was everything that I wanted to see from the Young Bucks. Obagi, like seeing him take progressive steps forward, being a little more aggressive, seeing that he's still not even remotely close to being first banana level, maybe like third banana on the team, and seeing like flashes of brilliance from him throughout, but just still playing like a very young sophomore. And then George, I thought, was really interesting. Again, you can see skill sets that will make him at least a rotation guy, but at the same time, man, that guy looks completely lost on defense, even for summer league.
The third banana is the third banana for Ochai. You're very optimistic.
who wants to take the McCade stance of Ochai's the summer league? I think it's a little different from what I've been reading.
I've watched.
I think I turned on the first game was on NBA TV, which was the day before the fourth. The third, because I'm good at math. Yeah.
Good at calendars.
I didn't watch 10 of us. I've only been watching. I mean, I haven't checked to see if I've got it or not. I've just been watching people's opinions on the Twitter sphere. And I did find it interesting that Ochai got 10 fouls last night. Is that correct?
Yes. Use all his fouls. 10 fouls. He fouled out. For some reason, you get 10 fouls.
I've heard similar to Mark. It's like people aren't really necessarily worried about the box score. But he does look aggressive. He looks stronger somehow. And I guess he appears to be just like, I don't know. Summer league's weird. It's just weird, right? You can't really. Mm-hmm. It's not really for watching the box score. It's watching the guys who look like they belong and are doing NBA level things, I guess.
So. I guess. I mean, I just kind of watch like, hey, it's basketball in July. Like, this is the last basketball you're going to get till October, yeah. Basically, unless you want to watch a few more World Cup stuff. So it's fun. It's like, all right, here's what it's like for a few NBA guys and then a bunch of guys who are
Did you say that the WNBA doesn't exist, or did you say the WNBA doesn't exist?
Well, I mean, I guess if you watch the WNBA, then cool. I mean,
are you the real Stabler? Are you sure you're a huge fan?
I don't watch a lot of WNBA, so I mean, yeah, I guess. But yeah, I mean, how about men's basketball? I mean, there's no men's basketball till October, I guess, and even then, preseason, the first half of the season. I mean, it's hard for me to be like, all right, I'm excited for the Jazz until December, January. So basketball just takes sort of a backseat for a while. Jared, I mean, you said you were, like, doing some scouting on, like, you know, like you were kind of watching George closely. Like, you want to – did you see what you wanted to see, or did you have any concerns?
Who, me?
Yeah.
It's too bad that Sensabaugh and Hendricks were. I'm not sure if Hendricks is. They were saving him for Vegas, or if he's got that lingering issue that he's still dealing with. I'd like to see, you know, what those guys got a little bit more, but you know, Keontae, he looked great. I'm really intrigued at the prospect of, you know, his development. And we'll kind of see where it goes, because I feel like that's all you can really do with summer league. I mean, it only can tell you so much.
You know, it's summer league, like you just said there. You know, I wonder.
I do have a question for you guys who have been watching this, though. What is the take on Keontae? Because I hear different things. I see some people think he could be a Jordan Clarkson type score guy, and I've seen multiple people talk about he's the point guard of the future. Those aren't the same thing. Nope, those are very different. Very different guys. So I mean, what's your
I'm not as high on Keontae, like, you know, the summer league, you know, Salt Lake Summer League or Utah Summer League, what they called it when Donovan Mitchell was here. You saw just a couple plays. You didn't see the box score, but you saw a couple plays. You're like, whoa, this guy could be something. I never, not once did I see Keontae do something. I'm like, okay, cool, this guy. And
yeah, he definitely didn't have any Donovan Mitchell moments.
So I think he'd be fine.
There was one play on the game on the third. Where it was kind of a little bit of an eye opener, and it is kind of interesting that you hit those two things, where it's like, hey, he's like a bulk scorer, Jordan Clarkson, and like good handles passing. And there was just like a flash of a moment where I can't remember. I think it was Porter, like one of these other rookie ball guys, was just like hustling down. It was a 2-on-3 break, so it was against like a defensive like mismatch, and he just puts like a pass that like threaded the needle through three guys on the move, like put it on the money. And it was just like such a sweet, like heads up, smart basketball play. And you just saw like flashes of it with George, where it's like, hey, I don't think he'll like hit this year or next year. I think he might be like a 3-year project guy. Because the other problem I really did feel like was like he will not see the court right now the way he reads the court on defense. Like, he is so lost. Like, there was multiple times where his guy was – he was at the top of the key, and his guy's making just a basic UCLA cut to the hoop. Like, I like, just a raw sense of defense was gone. So that was kind of my take on George, which was, yeah, I can see why they're high on him. I can see why he, like, was drafted that high. He definitely has potential, but – he has a lot of work to do before he sees like consistent minutes on the court.
Yeah. Logan, you just heard what you know, Mark said right there. With that review of Keontae George, how do you feel about Keontae?
I don't know. Is that a good answer?
I mean, that, it's fair because I like really look.
I guess to defer back to you, Mark. What do you see more of? Do you see point guard of the future, project wise, or do you see Jordan Clarkson you know, microwave score? Like, what is, I mean, what is, I guess it's too
he's too small.
It's way too early. It's absurd to see that there this early, but I guess, I don't know, like, what would be the ideal scenario there with him? All the point guards aren't really things anymore, but in some cases,
it,
yes. But.
Look, it's so tough with summer league, of course, because, look, I feel like, what wasn't it Morris Almond that looked like the second coming of Michael Jordan every summer league? It's like scoring like 40 points a game.
Jared and Butler.
Trae Young famously looked like hot garbage. It's always so. I'm serious. So, I watched that game. Oh, I was like, what the hell? Who is this guy? He sucks. This is that guy who went 5-1? Yeah.
Well, even like I think Deron Williams, even like his first summer league was just horrible. And it was just like, you know, it's funny how quickly they pick it up. I almost want to see the progression. For me, I almost want to see, okay, they get 3 games in Salt Lake. They kind of get their feet wet. I liked how the things I liked about George was even when he was breaking down, like he knew he played like crap and he was nervous in that first game and he like saw everything he has to work on. So it's like, okay, now let's see him in Vegas. Now let's see him in preseason. Is he making substantial jumps, and how quickly can he make those jumps? Because he's undersized. Like he's definitely going to struggle when you have like good defenders on him. But his shot is confident. He shot with confidence. He didn't feel like he was, the stage was too big, meaning like, you know, eyeball test. It's like, oh yeah, like, he at least deserves to be like a rotation in NBA guy and like see that next progression and step. And I don't know, like I was having conversations with buddies like during it as we're kind of watching and texting back and forth where, you know, quadruple A is a thing. Like, I know it's kind of a weird, like we're to transition into it, but you know, quadruple A, it's funny how you have these guys that, yeah, definitely, you know, better than college players, better than G League guys, but they just like don't have a tangible NBA skill. And when they go up against day in, day out NBA talent, that's really the litmus test. And so it will be interesting to see if what he's able to do in the brief flashes of moments, he's able to multiply and do that more consistently against NBA talent night in, night out. And that will really be, you know, that thing where it's like he's so small but he's quick, so it'll be interesting to see what he's able to do.
I think some of the summer league like darlings or people that looked really good in summer league so far, like the Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren, you know,
well, Jalen Williams is a fourth year player, he shouldn't be playing summer league. Ridiculous.
Which Jalen Williams,
right?
There's a good one, and there's
As Holly Rose said, there's one good one, and the other one, no offense, kid.
Wow.
But
is that what she said the other night? They got everybody upset.
She was interviewing both Williams, and she's like, "They say you're the Jalen Williams," and then turned to the other one. It's like, no offense, and so that was what everybody got an uproar about and wants her job and everything. But yeah, there's.
I was assuming I was missing something. I watched the video like 1.5 times. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. Whatever it is, I'm sure I'll ask who.
I mean, there's a couple guys that. So like those guys, at least they got into summer league and they look like NBA players. Keontae George is not quite at that level yet, but it doesn't mean he's not going to be at least a, you know, as we just said, a rotation level player. And you know, for a 16th pick in the draft, that's not bad. It's not probably what the Jazz wanted. You know, like you're hoping that one of the three were going to hit. And maybe it looks like, you know, and when I say hit, I mean like hopefully, you know, you get a Giannis level talent in that area. And it looks already like, you know, that's probably not going to happen with George. And that's okay. Like he can still be an Ochai level player, which is fine, which is good. You know, like I think Ochai is a very good, he can be a good rotational player in the NBA for a while. So he can be a top 8 player on somebody's team for a while. So that's my take about watching Keontae 2 of the 3 days that I saw him. And so that's summer league. I think we spent way more time on summer league than I really wanted to.
that was a pretty strong commitment from who on Keontae calling his career now 3 games into summer league. So
yeah, I mean
you tried to sneak it in there. I think I wasn't listening, but I heard you make a definitive statement on what you think he's going to be. I mean, to Jared's point, he got a full starting NBA roster. I mean, Oklahoma City trotted out the same team that played in the play-in last year. So,
plus Chet Holmgren.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. His first night out, he got to go against
the number two pick in last year's draft.
Terrifyingly skinny Chet Holmgren.
Yes, but the Jazz are still Jazz in. I mean, the NBA is still going. Like the soap opera that continues to be the off season for the Jazz, for the NBA. Excuse me. Damian Lillard. We wake up one day, we get the reports Damian Lillard wants out of Portland. You know, finally everyone can move on. Like Portland needs Damian to move on. Damian needs to move on. This seems to be like a good for everybody situation until it comes
out
that
the Heat want that deal done sooner rather than later. So
right,
part of the Oladipo trade.
And so
lots of fun stuff.
It was supposed to be something like, hey, this is sort of a win-win for everybody. Portland can get some assets for their best star. He's gonna go to a place that is gonna be better for his late career. And then the last 2 days, we're getting a lot of like, okay, well, what's going on here? We're getting a lot of talk from Damian's agent, basically calling teams individually, calling Danny Ainge, like, hey, don't you trade for Damian, or else you're gonna get a very unhappy superstar in your hands. And that's caused this huge, huge rift among just NBA fans.
The threat said he's going to be an unhappy player. It didn't say he's not going to play and he's going to hold out. So I'm like, what kind of threat is this? Like, are you serious?
Yeah, I mean
here's my question, too. Go ahead. Do we think this always happens, or do we think this is unique and we're just I'm jumping over who's question, but people negotiating for what they want is nothing new. We all do the same thing in our day-to-day life. The agent thing, I guess I'm curious what you guys think. Do you think the agent calling is a step too far and out of the norm, or do you think this is something that happens regularly and we're actually hearing about it, and so now we're feeling shocked by this? Because that one threw me off. The day one Dame stuff, I was like, okay, guys, give a fucking rest. Let's let something play out. But the agent thing today kind of definitely rubbed me a little more wrong than the other stuff, but I don't know. Maybe it is.
I think it depends on the agent, because it feels like how much juice they have with the media. It feels like if you have a guy like Bartlestein, you're never going to hear the tea leaves until you just hear that the guy gets a fat contract. I don't know. It feels like it just really depends on the agent.
All right, Mark, questions now volleyed over to you. Is this Damian's agent thing calling all the teams? Do you, because like, this is not the first time a superstar has asked out. This is not the first time a superstar has try to maneuver his way to a certain team. Do you think is this James Harden? This is the same thing with James Harden does, or the Bradley Beal doesn't count because of the no trade clause. Do you think this agent calling and trying to get teams off them? Because Logan was mad this morning. If you watch follow this tweet. So what do you think, Mark?
I feel this is just like it's a weak free agent class. I feel like it's just a really slow news cycle. I feel like this happens every year. Like this, you know, when you're going to all the talk of like, hey, I want my guy going to a certain team. They want to go to a certain place. They want to take phone calls. I feel like this just happens every year when it's like they're trying to force a trade. And I feel it's just kind of a slower news cycle, and they just kind of put it out there. I didn't even faze me.
Yeah.
When it came
because
out.
I also feel like it's interesting because it feels like there's a lot of talk about it this year, more talk, even more so than usual, because A, there's two of them. There's Harden and Lillard, and B, they apparently both have a very specific destination in mind, and then C, they're willing to try to put the screws to the team, and be like, you know, send me to my favorite place, and it's. I think that happens every single time that they're like, this is my preferred destination. This is where I want to go. I don't think they sit there and even bother having a fight with the team over whether they can or not, unless they have a no trade clause. And Bradley Beal is the only guy who's had a no trade clause since Kevin Garnett, I think.
And I'm confused of, like, I hear Dame's, like, when he gave the list of Brooklyn and Miami. And to me, it was just odd because I'm like, oh, if you go to either Brooklyn or Miami, neither of those teams seem like their top three Eastern team. just by adding.
I don't know. Miami was just in the finals.
Yeah, I didn't think they were.
Who's not even sure that the Nuggets are championship contenders yet
either? Yeah, I know.
I mean,
Hootran famously saying the Nuggets are trash.
Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, and Damian Lillard. I mean, is that better than the Celtics, Bucks, and the Sixers?
Do you believe in the Celtics after what we've witnessed?
Yeah, I mean,
do you really believe it that they're closers?
I mean, I believe that if I had to bet, you know, a significant amount of money on a 7-game series between the two teams.
The Bucks lost in the first round this year. Mm-hmm. How are they getting significantly better next year?
They have Giannis. Like, you have an MVP level player on your
team.
Yeah,
but Giannis played most of that series and they still lost.
I mean, he missed what, a game and a half?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
look, I don't think that swings the first round series. It was a first round series, honestly.
So, like, so you think
you're playing an eighth seed?
Oh no,
first round series.
I'm going to ask you. So, would you consider Miami the favorite then?
With what they showed in the playoffs, are you the favorite for trading for Dame? Is that what you're saying?
Well, if they got Dame, would they be the favorite in the East?
I'd say you have to put them top three, if not top two, and maybe the favorite. Yeah, because they.
Okay, well, that's fair. No, I don't believe that. Mark, Logan, you guys.
I'm coming out with a hot take.
This is what you came on the pod for, hot takes.
I really feel like if I was an NBA team right now, I wouldn't trade for Damian Lillard. Like, I wouldn't mortgage the farm. I wouldn't bet the franchise that Damian Lillard's going to get me to the promised land. Like, I love Dame. I love Dame time. I like everything about Dame. Like, I would be thrilled. I've wanted him on the Jazz for the longest time. But for what you have to give up and what they're asking for Dame and that contract and the positioning and what he's able to do, and it does make me a little worried that Portland's never made it farther than where they've gone. And it seems like every guy...
Finals? They've never made it farther than the conference finals.
But even then, it never felt like they were... Even that
conference final. All right, so Logan, so to Mark's point... Oh, well, Logan, let's ask you a question first. I'm Miami with Dame. Are they your favorite to come out of the East?
I don't know if they're my favorite, but they're the top three. And I think that Philly's, I don't trust
Philly. I guess Philly, that's fair, because if they lose Harden.
Jared, where does Harden want to go? I forgot all about Harden.
Houston?
I think he was talking about the Clippers.
Oh, yeah, the Clippers. That's right. The Clippers are out there, yeah. Yeah. So to Mark's point, like, number one though, if he goes to the Heat, that package is not very enticing, right? Like the package that we heard is, you know, I think two first round picks, a couple seconds.
Apparently,
couple
it can be three if they modify the protections on the Oklahoma City pick. So,
yeah, I mean, good luck. I mean, they probably could. I mean,
no, and it's not good luck. It's Oklahoma City, like, basically gets a guaranteed. You know, it's good for Oklahoma City. Like,
yeah. And so again, the Heat. I mean, so they give up Nikola Jokic, which is I think 80% like Nikola Jokic. So he's maybe 80% of the player that he is. Jaime Jaquez, Tyler Hero, which the Blazers don't want.
I mean, have we heard about any teams who want Tyler Hero this offseason?
I was pretty convinced you were making up names until you said Tyler Hero.
And so, so Mark was like, the package to give for Dame is a lot, but the Miami package is not very much. It's something. There's a couple young pieces there. There's a couple picks. It would be a really awful package to get for Damian Lillard alone.
I think we're overselling how bad it is, though, because – what did we get for Deron Williams? Anything of note besides Derek Favors? And was he really of note to anyone but Jazz fans? No. I mean,
Devin Harris, man.
Right.
Oh man, I hated watching that guy play.
So
little ludicrous.
So it is. It's really funny because
did you guys see that footage of Devin Harris on the internet the other day?
No.
It was a double take. I say this because I've also fallen victim to this in my late 30s, but he's about tripled in size. It was interesting. It was like a Nutty Professor situation with Devin.
Really?
Harris,
holy crap.
Yeah, like an NBA team or something.
Yeah.
Someone quotes me. Like,
so
oh
he went,
God,
he went full Brian Russell in that little of time? Oh, my gosh.
And so this is sort of the Wizards situation. Like, if somehow
don't
the
bring up the Wizards, don't do it.
If somehow the agents win in this and Dame wins in this, that's the only package you get. Yeah, it sucks. It's definitely not what you want to get when you're selling, especially since what the Jazz did with the Donovan and Rudy trades last year, right? Like, that's not even like half of what you got for Rudy Gobert.
But the Rudy Gobert trade is an aberration. Like, that can't be the standard.
I'm saying it's not even half of what the Rudy Gobert trade was. So, like, you can't even get to half of what that trade was. It's kind of crazy. But, like, the Jazz...
What was the Kevin Garnett one? Kevin Garnett ended up being, like, 3 first-rounders or something? What did Kevin Garnett turn out to be? I don't remember.
I can look it up for you in a minute here. But
obviously solid players, too. That
right,
was a big
right.
part.
And, but, I mean...
Jefferson, I think, was in there.
Yeah, well...
Which is the Jazz famously traded for.
Big Al, but the problem is, like, comparing stuff from... I mean, trades have just gotten a little more, like, pick-heavy in the past 10 years, it feels like. But I'll look it up here in a minute. Because the Jazz could call the Blazers tomorrow and, you know, say, okay, whatever. I think the salary that would fit would be like THT, Colin Sexton, and Kelly Olynyk, which are all not negative. Those are probably at least neutral assets. You know, I was having a talk with the beat writer before the game today, and you know, Colin Sexton's contract, I don't think it's that bad. You know, but they're like, Portland doesn't want to take a 3-year, $60 million contract. I'm like, that's a very easily movable contract, but anyway, that would be salary filler, which I think is a neutral. It's not a package that you would have to give up a pick to get rid of those contracts. Is I guess what I'm trying to get to. The Jazz could offer a couple first round picks. I don't know which ones they would give up. A couple first round picks, and you can give up Ochai, and maybe what you can give up Keontae George or Bryce Sensabaugh. If push came to shove, Taylor Hendricks.
I'd imagine they want like Hendricks or something. Right. I mean, I guess I don't understand why Portland would want more guards. I mean, that's part of the game situation. They've got Scoot, they've got Simons, and they've got young guards.
Shaden Sharp, yeah.
It's like is a wing of some kind, right?
So I mean, Sexton's there for the money, right? Sexton and
yeah, Kelly and I'm sure their preference would be to get a Hendricks type, right? Because it's a fun court guy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, and it, like if it's like, but like again, if you're the Jazz, like you can either take.
Sexton seems like you just have to be rerouted. Like
you can
get somebody else involved.
You can take Keontae George, or you can go to the Miami package, right? Like there's their two picks are probably less valuable than the two picks the Jazz can give them. It's basically a are you bidding against yourself type thing, right? They could ask for Hendricks, and maybe if that was the tipping point, you can get Dame to the Jazz. And this is what I think is exciting as a Utah Jazz fan. Like right now, seeing what the Jazz did at the draft, seeing what the Jazz have done this offseason, which is not really pick up anybody, actually, it feels like, okay, you know, I know that Danny Ainge said, hey, you know, we don't want to speed up our rebuild, but we don't want a slow rebuild. And I think everybody kind of assumed, like, okay, cool, you're going to tank for a year, grab some rookies, and then, you know, you're back at it, and you're going to get some people. But I think this is more of a 2-3 year plan. Like, the Jazz don't have to tank this year, but whatever happens, happens. Like, if, you know, they're not going to, you know, try to miss the playoffs on purpose. But if they do miss the playoffs, it's not a step back in their plan because they can still get more assets. They just got 3 assets in the draft this year. They still have a whole lot of draft picks. I'm thinking they're planning for something in 24-25. Like maybe.
I don't know, if you hear our friend of the pod, Josh, tell it, the Jazz need to get good this year because otherwise Laurie's going to be like, I want out. Get me out of here.
Yes. People are like, you got to get good while Laurie's only making $15 million and. I don't think that's the case. Like I'm looking, and this is just me reading the tea leaves. Going, I think the Jazz are still trying to set something up for 20, like in 2 years, for whoever wants to get out in 2 years and say, you know, oh, like it's Luka or it's Giannis, whoever it is, and say, okay, cool. Here's what we have. We have, you know, these 5 rookies that we've or 5 young guys that we've drafted in the past 2 years. They look pretty exciting. Ochai Agbaji, you know, type players, and then they'll still have draft picks and they'll have cap room. You know, if Collins turns out to be great, awesome. If Colin Sexton turns out to be good, awesome. You know, they go a lot of ways, or they could go. They can go with Dame. Like if the Jazzmen got Dame this year, I don't think Jazz. I mean, I mean, there would be some Jazz fans who are mad, but I mean, you guys would be excited. Would you guys be excited to have Dame on your team this year?
Mark said no.
I would watch every game.
Right.
I'd be like rooting for Dame, but mm-hmm. I just don't like GM in me. Mm-hmm. I would just be like, no, I pass.
I mean there are some legit fears because then all of a sudden your window is now hurry before Dame gets to 36 or 37, right? But the Jazz still have assets. The Jazz could still go get some other players, or the Jazz may have the players on their team. Maybe it's John Collins, maybe it's Taylor Hendricks. You know, you assume that Dame, Lauri Markkanen, and something else, like the Jazz still have contracts they can trade and assets they can trade to go get somebody else. Like, if the Harden thing never goes, like, if nobody finds Harden and the Sixers like, crap, take a lowball offer for Harden, right? And the Jazz were like, all right, cool, you know, give a couple draft assets, get the salaries to match, you know, Jordan Clarkson or whatever. And then all of a sudden your team is Harden, Lillard, and Lauri. At least you're a top, you know, three team in the NBA. Regardless of chemistry, you have the talent. Or they can wait. The Jazz can wait to 24, 25, gather more assets. That's what they've been doing. They gathered an asset in John Collins as the asset. They gave a really good deal to Jordan Clarkson. They have Colin Sexton, guys that they can still flip for further assets. And so it may take a little bit longer than what Jazz fans were expecting, but if you do it correctly and if everything falls right in 2 years, man, you could have a real good team structure, if Dealer Dan, if Trader Dan, Danny does make trades and pulls off those Anthony Davis trades that he was not able to pull off in Boston. So the tea leaves are there. And Logan, I just said a lot of stuff. Anything of that interest you?
7 out of 10 interesting. Yeah, I would say. I don't know. I think if they put a phone call in, I think you said it last week on the podcast that there's many ways this can go. I don't think that there is a specific roadmap. Like we're talking about the draft, right? And what Danny wanted to accomplish and trade up for five. Okay, we're gonna do. I don't believe that there's some one set in stone path. The thing is, you have to take advantage of opportunities when they present themselves. No one has any idea when that next star is going to become available. So we say it happens every year, but we know that Utah's in an even more unique situation when it comes to, as we're even seeing now, not just with free agency, but even attracting people via trade. So I don't think we have any idea what the plan is. One of my all-time growing pet peeves outside of roll gravity and screen assists is windows. I don't believe windows exist in the NBA, and I don't believe they especially exist for the Utah Jazz. I don't think that windows are a real thing. The Jazz were a one seed all of 2 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, 3 years ago now, you think? So, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't believe in them. I think that you have to just. I think, like we said before, we have enough different options. It feels good. We can make choices, hopefully, and dictate our own future, and we have the ability to make those smart choices, and I feel good about where we are, but I don't think that I don't believe that you can count on a window. And I do think there is something to be said for paying Lauri, trying to maybe capitalize it on that, like the almost like the rookie NFL quarterback contract situation. I think it would be foolish to sit on it for $15 million for the next couple of years and not try to take advantage of it. I think that would be a missed opportunity because if he continues on this trajectory, then he's gonna be a max contract. And I mean, he's playing like a max player in theory, but that's just a lot less money you have to work with. So, mm-hmm. I mean, but then again, I also don't like tanking. So, I mean, my view is going to be biased and tainted in that direction. So I think the Jazz have to just take advantage of opportunities when they present themselves. I don't think you can, you can keep taking shots with the draft picks and hoping they hit, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even. I think taking the shots at the draft picks were just a this year thing. Like, okay, we have to, let's see how low we can get to take shots on draft picks, and if they don't pan out to be Giannis, that's okay. As long as if they pan out to be Colin Sexton like, Anthony Simons like, Those are good players, but they're not like, you know, I don't think those guys have all stars in their futures, but they're good players. Like they're good players to have, you know, on your roster. And the thing is that if you get a couple of those guys, like, I mean, there's talks about Avery Simmons being traded and like being the key piece in some trades. And I think that's a little crazy. That's, you know.
Yeah, because he seems like Jordan Poole plus, basically.
Right.
He's like Tyler Hero also.
I don't want him to be the number one on the team, but like, God, if you have him as your fourth or as your fifth starter, that's fine. I think that's
I mean, that's I don't know. Good. It depends on how tall your point guard is, because I feel like
he's
a little on the small side.
Yeah, I'm more talking about like just talent and just having talent, right? Like you fix everything else with, you know, heights. And again, because Keontae Jordan is 6'4", right? And people are like, oh, but he plays this way. And you know, Donovan was 6'1", but he plays like he's a 10-footer. So,
offensively.
Yeah.
Seriously, man.
All right, so
Donovan Mitchell plays like he's 3 feet tall on defense.
So you know, I mean, my personal feelings about just I'm rejuvenated as a Jazz fan. You know, after just really, you know, a last year where I thought they should have tanked more and being disappointed almost all year about how badly, quote unquote, like my term badly, I thought they were playing, and then the year before when. You know, I was just like, okay, this team, like, I think Danny Ainge came in and was like, okay, look, you know, this team's not going to work. But
So you're doing I thought I was out, but they pulled me back in.
Yeah, basically. And like, well, I mean, like 2 years, I mean, when Danny Ainge came in and I think he saw that the Donovan Rudy thing had reached its apex, but he was like, you know, we'll give it another year because I felt like, God, I thought there was a little more juice in that. I thought if they just made a couple of trades. You know, blow it up a little bit. They could have crossed that, but you know,
honestly, I think they had more info than us, and I think they made a good decision.
Right. Well, right. Not now. Looking at those trades, I'm like, okay. Well, at least that now the pantry's full. You know, you can choose them a bunch of ways to go.
Oh,
there.
Yeah. We're not just looking at an empty fridge.
Yeah.
One of the questions I would have for this group is. Right now on the Jazz roster, is there a single player that we would not be willing to move?
I'd be willing to move all of them. They're all nobody's untouchable on the Jazz, but some of the prices are high. Like Lauri Markkanen's price would be very high.
Oh yeah, I'd need some real stuff.
Walker Kessler, I didn't mention him in the Damian trade, but because like if you want Walker Kessler, you're going to get a lot less stuff. You're going to get less picks. You're not going to get any of the other draft picks, like the Jazz drafted. Like, if you want Walker Kessler and that, you're going to get less stuff, right?
This is where I'm happy we have Danny, just to be completely honest. Because in this situation, I feel it's like business, where it's like, it's more about what we're saying no to. Like, I agree. I don't think there's a single player on this team right now that I'm like, oh my gosh, they are untouchable. Like, I would feel like guilty, like, packaging them in a deal to go get somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm very like dispassionate this is moving and unemotional. Parts.
Right. But I know that Jazz Twitter, even some of the beat writers, like I mentioned Ochai Agbaji as someone that could be a centerpiece of a trade because he's young. You know, he's, well, not really NBA young, but, you know, he's gorgeous.
He's younger.
Yes, watch out for the ER. Oh my gosh. Two years.
Out here trying to. He's going to have you edit that later, who? He's going to have you edit that later, who?
But the two, you know, he's only a second year player. He's a former lottery pick. I could see him not being the main deal of the package, but he can be the. I mean, he was the Ochai Agbaji of the Donovan Mitchell package, right? He's the Leandro Balmaro of the Rudy Gobert package. Like, it can go either way. But he's a young enough player or a young enough NBA prospect that maybe he turns into something. I mean, some people think he could be a top three. You know, Mark thinks he could be a top three player on the Jazz.
Hey, that'd be nice if that happened. Honestly, I'd feel like that's a house money type thing.
Yeah.
Look, it feels like there's so many guys that could pay out. There's like opportunity to pay out, but I feel like it just goes into waiting for the right moment, waiting for the right guy, and then be willing to go all in that moment. And that's where I feel like it's going to be fun. I don't think we're going to be competing the next 2 years, but I think it's going to be, we're going to be in part of every major trade discussion.
And I think that's a fair assessment
from the Jazz. Unheard. Like, I can't remember the part, like, ever being like this asset rich where any player that comes available that wants to trade, we should be mentioned in that trade talk.
Oh yeah. We're automatically in the discussion. Like,
the Jazz are lurkers. So dangerous lurkers.
Yeah. Woj called us lurkers. Dangerous lurkers. Just like the rest of Jazz Twitter.
Dangerous lurkers is a good name for a bowling team. So,
well, I think the comment that the reply, or was that the quote tweet to you, Logan, where somebody specifically said dangerous lurkers is one of the Andy Dwyer band names.
Yeah, I think so. It was a phenomenal. It checks a lot of Jazz fandom boxes to be called dangerous lurkers. Some of them intentionally or unintentionally. I just not that it really relates to this topic at hand, but I don't remember hearing, to Mark's point, I don't remember hearing Oklahoma City come up in these conversations, and they've had a boatload of assets for like 3 or 4 years now either. So it is kind of interesting that
feels like Danny has real media juice. Like, this guy's got
like Oklahoma City. You're right. Like, should be in the same scarecrow boat of, you know, being asset rich, having, you know, a young superstar, that all NBA, multi-time all star. I don't, maybe Lauri Markkanen is a multi-time all star. Who knows? But you know, like Oklahoma City. But,
yeah, I'm comfortably saying the Shea is a better player, though, personally.
Yeah,
I'm comfortable.
I think Shai is a. Shea's a tier above Lauri.
I understand. You were confusing him with LaBeouf. I get it.
And so, but like, they've also have like very interesting rookies, right? You know, they got Josh Giddey. They have Chet now coming back, and so, you know, the Jalen Williams brothers who spell their name differently. So they've got. It is interesting how differently those two franchises are doing it, and there's still a couple picks that Oklahoma City still has a pretty good cupboard as well. But yeah, like it's funny how the Jazz are now going to, you're right, Mark, are going to be in those talks because they have all the assets. It's just, when are they going to pull the trigger, if they can pull the trigger? Because that's the big thing that we had when Danny Ainge has not really shown us anything different. He's shown that he can get a lot of draft picks. You know, something he did in Boston was find guys at spots that were not number one. But you know, the one thing that he kept missing on was trading for that big star. And that's when he was in Boston, and now he's got to do it in Utah. And maybe that's a conversation for another day. But right now it's exciting to be a Jazz fan because a lot of different ways, different avenues. The Jazz, like last year, even though I personally hated it, showed that the Jazz didn't have to be going for a championship for fans to really enjoy the Jazz. The Jazz were like really never a championship contender last year, but they were surpassing expectations, and people were showing up to the games. They're supporting the Jazz, and they liked it.
And people were happy, happier than they were that last year, because the team gave a crap. Yeah. Like that, I think that give a shit that is a big quotient, and like that matters to Jazz fans. Like,
yeah.
All right. So as we, you know, as we beg for you guys to, you know, take a minute and, you know, drop a 5-star review for hitting the high notes here. That's very helpful on whatever podcast catcher, quote unquote catcher, that you have. A 5-star review is very helpful. Podcatcher.
Gotta catch them all. Priest every time you use that term.
Yeah, Brian Priest. Brian Priest.
Brian Priest, and also our good friend over at Jazz. Oh, shoot. The Yellow Podcast. Oh my gosh, he Jabberjazz. Thank you. Jabberjazz.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So yeah, so as we do that, let's talk about like real quick. We got JC on the team now. We have two JCs on the team now, or it should be the trade should become official tomorrow, or by the time you're hearing this, John Collins, Utah's own John Collins, should be back in the Jazz uniform. Interesting that you guys that he was there at Summer League just chatting it up with, you know, Justin Zanuck and Will Hardy, Jeff Hornacek, who people didn't know were was back with the Jazz. Did you guys find that interesting that he was just kind of dabbing up the Summer League players? Like, you know, he's not technically part of the team yet, but, you know, this is a pretty good indication that he's part of the team. He's wearing Utah Jazz purple shorts. Logan, John Collins, this is Utah's own John Collins, your boy. How do you feel?
Splendid.
Splendid. Mark was, I mean, Mark, they made a trade for John Collins. They gave up their cap space this offseason to get him. You know, a guy that fell out of rotation in Atlanta. He's the highest paid Jazz player at $25 to $27 million. Any quick thoughts about John Collins?
Look, I thought it was a very vanilla move. I thought it made logical sense from a cap space wise. I'm really thrilled. I never have to see Rudy Gay miss another three pointer in the corner ever again.
Oh my gosh, you're speaking my language, Mark.
Rudy Gay was high notes approved, okay?
He was. Yeah, he was. However, Rudy Gay's first he never came on the podcast, first. So we can slander.
He's part of the Believe Network.
Oh, no, he's still listening to this. I'm sorry, Rudy.
He's part of the Believe Network. He can still be on her.
He's canceling me.
Yeah, so he's like. You know, so JC John Collins at Summer League. JC Jordan Clarkson, we like, you know, literally last episode we're talking about if Jazz fans would be happy if Jordan Clarkson made $25 million, they would be happier if he made $20 million, and he actually kind of did both in a way. The Jazz extended and signed JC Jordan Clarkson, so I think it's a sliding scale. I don't know if that was confirmed, but I think everybody was like, that's pretty much it. The Jazz used the rest of their cap space. They bump up the first year Jordan Clarkson's salary to $25 million, and I think we all assume that he's going to drop down to like $15 million his last couple years. So everybody's very happy because it's essentially a $60-ish million contract total, and hopefully those are the right assumptions. I actually didn't check before we came on, so we kind of got that right and wrong at the same time. I wasn't even saying like that's what he's going to make. I was just posing out the question like, if he got that much money, do you think you would be, as a Jazz fan, upset? And we actually kind of saw that. We saw that in real time when people saw the extension. Like, oh my gosh, the Jazz. That's the worst contract.
We read the tea leaves, man.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It was like, that's the worst contract ever. And then people will have to be like, guys, it's a sliding scale. Like, calm down, you know. The Jazz also kind of involved in, I don't know who this person is, but they're coming out and there's this rumor for Colin Sexton going to the Bucks. And so I'm going to tell a story. Like, I know somebody who knows Colin Sexton. And, you know, there is – I don't know if you guys get this feeling or not. It feels like the Jazz and Colin Sexton is not really a match made in heaven. Like, he was sort of the big piece in that Donovan Mitchell trade but came over hurt. Lauren Markin became the big piece. And Colin just kind of – like, he's there. People like him. Like, he's doing this docuseries now and – Jazz fans, you know, like, as soon as you say, you know, this shit is pretty cool about Utah, you know, they're going to really gravitate towards you. But I heard rumblings back at near the draft, which it didn't make sense then, but like that Milwaukee. And so I don't know if this like guy who knows Colin was like, did you hear something? Or are you hearing these Twitter rumors and you're blowing out of proportion? So for me, it raises an eyebrow because like the Milwaukee rumor for me has been here for 3 weeks. But just this week, people are saying, oh, you know, Milwaukee's making a big push to get Colin Sexton on their team. The trade package doesn't sound great.
You hear that, guys? Who has real sources? Don't be disrespectful.
Hey, this is a big day for us.
Yeah. Sources that are they're unreliable sources. They're the sources that Monty probably gets too. So
Monty, you called Monty for this?
and so that's the only thing literally he said something about 3 weeks ago about
the
Milwaukee
Utah sports.
And I said, Milwaukee, like, that doesn't make any sense. Milwaukee's hard, like, almost hard capped. They're at least over the tax.
Oh, so what you're saying is that guy probably saw Monty's tweet, saw that people were calling him the truth in Utah sports, and fed it back around. And now it's acting like it's a real rumor.
Well, then that's so.
Wait a second. Is that Monty's, or is that really his tagline?
Yeah, no, well, somebody said that, the truth in Utah sports, and they kept saying it over and over and over again.
And so, again, to me, like, these are how rumors start, right? Like, is this guy who is close with Colin Sexton, did he hear it as, you know, like, in Colin's camp? Or did he see an unconfirmed report on Twitter or on whatever, and was like, oh boy, this sounds like it's going to be it? Because, like, again, I'm not close with Colin Sexton, so I don't know. I can't tell you. But yeah, so this is a good sort of game of telephone, like how we see telephone work. Cause, you know, I heard it from Colin Sexton's my best friend, you know,
ooh.
Right?
Really? The you best know? Friend.
And so if I say,
so is his best friend also your coworker? Is that who that is?
This is somebody different, but,
he's
but,
him.
Yeah. Right. So like if it's Colin Sexton's best friend telling, you know, saying that, you know, I'm not lying. I'm hearing it from Colin Sexton's best friend, but I don't know where he's hearing it from, right? And so this is sort of how that game of telephone works. And so, anyway, but back to the, I guess, the point of like, okay, so Colin Sexton, there's a chance he might be on the move. I mean, I know fans, like us fans are like, oh, logically, it doesn't make any sense. Logically, the package that Milwaukee.
I think there's more realistic destinations for him than Milwaukee, personally.
Probably. But I mean, but we haven't heard those names. Like, we keep hearing Milwaukee, right? And but is it the same guy? Is it the one guy's rumor?
Is
spreading?
Somebody else trying to turn that rumor
right? Is
into,
that circulating?
Into somebody else going, ooh, Sexton right. might be on the move.
So,
look, I also
smoke
feel
screen.
Look,
smoke screen.
I feel that's the other side of the Utah-ness, and I feel like we've experienced this for many years being in Utah. Where I also feel like it's, hey, every national rumor that comes along, it's the like, hey, the turnip truck. Hey, you guys in your turnip truck. You guys will just accept anything. Like, we'll trade your player for like a pile of garbage and you'll take it. And it's just like, I'm reading these projected rumors for Sexton and I'm like, if you left, I wouldn't be too sad. But at the same time, I'm seeing the players we're getting back and I'm like, these are ridiculous.
Right.
Like, and the names associated with it is just like, this is complete garbage.
Yeah, Grayson Allen being associated with us again was an insult. I was like, no, never again. Never.
I mean,
we don't even get Joe Ingles back.
We don't get Joe Ingles back. No, he's a magic.
He has a hater in me, so.
As the Zaya Jazz answers, breathe a sigh of relief there. This also brings me back to like the trade deadline and like how like, oh, you know, of course the Jazz are going to get multiple first round picks for Beasley and Vanderbilt and all these guys. And, you know, I would go on to Spaces and be like, well, what if they don't, what if this happens? And the problem is that I'll ask a question. And they'll be like, well, no, they need to get this. They should get this. I'm like, I'm asking what they should get. I'm asking, what if this is all they get? How would you feel? And so I'm going to ask the same question. Like, what if this rumor turns out to be true? I don't know why it would be. Like, logically, to me, it doesn't make sense. But if all the Jazz got from the Bucks was Grayson Allen, Pat Connaughton, and a second-round pick for Colin Sexton, I mean, you as fans, Logan, you as a fan, how would you feel?
It would help. It'd be one step closer to Danny building his perfect Caucasian, all Caucasian team. So it's a step in that direction,
right? Yeah, because like
the purest of teams. I listen to you guys talk about Sexton. I think you hit it on the head first, Jared, and I think Mark said something similar. I just forget about him, like I just do. Like I don't have any. I mean, when he's there's moments when he's playing, and that's not very often. We need to point out that he's not playing very often. But it's just he's fine. He's fine. But I don't have any sort of emotional connection to him. I don't care. I haven't dove deeply into what Connaughton and
Grayson Allen.
Grayson Allen's salaries and years left on their contracts are, I have no idea. Right. I don't.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. It's one of these weird moves that like the Jazz are, and Colin Sexton. I don't think a lot of Jazz fans are like, oh, we're gonna miss him, his on court ability, because he's a good player. He's a really good player. He's a high draft pick. But like you said, Logan, like you kind of nothing him right now because you didn't see it, and you know, unfortunately, he was part of the tanking. What Danny Ainge did last year, like you know, him, Jordan Clarkson, they probably could have played last year at the end of the year. I mean, Jordan Clarkson came back for one game in the middle of his injury.
Yeah, Sexton had a weird one too, where he suddenly randomly appeared like with three games left. Right, I was like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, like so, like he just came in and just like he's like, oh,
I guess there could possibly be some repetitiveness because we've also kind of put Sexton in that category of we don't necessarily think he's a pure point guard. He may be like an off the bench spark plug guy, and I guess there could be some repetitiveness with I guess what we might think that Keontae is and Jordan Clarkson and Sexton, but it doesn't seem like that's something Danny, unless Danny Ainge has a bigger picture, I don't see him doing
so
that.
The other thing about this, and Mark and Gerald, I'll give you guys a chance here to talk, but by trading Colin Sexton for that package I just said, right, the second round pick and the two players, is you lose the opportunity of trading Sexton for something else. Like, if you think Sexton is worth more than that, you know, later in the season, like, you know, like if all you're going to get back is two random players and a second round pick, is that, you know, do you feel that's enough for Sexton? Let's go back to Jared. Jared, you heard the trade. What do you feel about, and because it could, like, look, I'm not saying it will happen. I'm saying there's a 1% chance that happens. In a world where that happens, how would you feel as a Jazz fan?
Let me double check. Are we still talking about that hypothetical Bucks trade, or did we shifted gears a little bit on our trade?
The Bucks trade is it's Connaughton, Allen, and a second round pick. Let's say whatever, because the guy who tweeted out apparently has hit on some other rumors.
And I think if we flip Connaughton for just like something middling, that's fine. Because I just don't feel like Connaughton fits what we need. And it feels like it kind of hurts the Bucks because he's one of their only pure shooters. Like, they signed Malik Beasley, who's a movement shooter, but we saw how hot and cold Malik Beasley is shooting-wise. So Connaughton is a consistent shooter. Beasley is streaky.
But the question is, you as a Jazz fan, you know,
I wouldn't love it.
Mark, you as a Jazz fan, I mean, that again, there's a chance that a trade happens. I don't know how big the trade is. I don't know what the chance is, but there's a chance. You as a Jazz fan, if you lose Colin Sexton for that, how do you feel?
Just the eyeball test all last year with Sexton. It was just like, he's enjoyable. He was good to have on the team. But I agree. Like, I forget he's on our team the majority of the time. He's not even like in my memory of like anything that really stuck out. It kind of always felt like it was always like, hey, he could be that guy. And like, looking at his stats, I'm always like shocked. I'm like, wow, he did average a lot of points with the Cavs. He played good ball with them, but it seemed like best guy on a terrible team, like always. And if we let him go for anything right now, I just feel like I would trust the process. I'm total trust the process guy right now. I'm all in on Danny Ainge. I've got the 76er thing all over again. If Danny's like, hey, we're going to trade him for two racks of basketballs and like a future second round pick, I'm all in right now.
Make sure they're the special balls on the 3-point contest that gives you extra points, though.
Three racks of green balls, Mountain Dew balls. And I think you're like, I'm all in.
It's the new Starly zone.
The Starry ball.
Starry. Yep. So.
Oh my gosh.
So Colin. And so I mean, the Jazz. Hey, who knows? I mean, we're 3 months away from men's basketball, basically, unless you count FIBA. But yeah, so that we're in the off season.
We don't count FIBA. If we start counting FIBA, I'm counting the podcast.
But yeah, we're heading into the off season. There still could be some moves made.
Like, wait. But do you count Team USA then, Logan? I'm confused.
No, this is me. Whippets don't give a shit. I don't need to hear about Rudy Gobert. I don't hear about Rudy Gobert dominating in FIBA again and translating into nothing. I guess Laurie did it last year, so it was super. He was the one guy who translated to
Jordan Clarkson in the Philippines. Don't forget about Jason.
Come on now. We love
Gilas Filipinos.
I heard Manny Pacquiao started a three for them, so I'm not really worried about it.
That was great.
All right. Well, Logan.
He has every job in the Philippines, I think, right? So, I mean, it's only fitting that he's going to coach. He's going to build
I think he technically owns every business, is the, what it is.
So as we get out here, Logan, you know, Marnay's Produce Corner, or Wizard's Woolly Place, whatever segment you want to do, anybody that we can throw in the corner, go for it.
Yeah, the Wizards didn't do much for me this week, unfortunately. Nope.
Boring.
My team in DC, in true Logan fashion, I talked about how I'm never going to bring anyone up again. I got like four names this week, so I think it's worth. We don't want to forget about Tejo. We always got to shout out Tejo. He had a couple nice things to say about our podcast last week, and
we also had a super underrated tweet today, which I will absolutely be happy to read for you if you would like.
Yeah, I'll go find. I'll shoot these other ones out real quick. I want to shout out Colin_SLC. You know, he's in that Garrett Hadley group. He's got some top-notch tweets. He also shout out a phenomenal gift with me being the king of Twitter today, so that always earns extra points. I'm going to go with also James, I'm going to butcher his last name, Goobler, but his handle is Gooby Hero, GUBIHERO. And just because I'm pretty sure that, like, we both crossed paths for years on Twitter, and, like, I think he refused to follow me because for obvious reasons. You know, we've been locked in the last couple of years, and he has always had good back and forth. The next step is just getting him to finally like my tweets instead of just responding to him. So it's a work in progress. But no, he's sneaky funny, man. I'm telling you, he's a good follow. And then also, loyal listener of the pod, the Beninator. Beninator Coombs. Is that how we say that? I don't know. But he's got his handle is Beninatorcoombs. But he's probably got the best avi in all of Twitter. It's like the chupacabra, but it's a taco. But yeah, he was talking how good the episode was. He listened to it last Friday. So good thing Jared put it out before the weekend. So anytime we find out that someone legitimately listens to this unprovoked, I'm going to shout him out.
Right.
So, yes. He listened this entire time to hear his name. So tomorrow morning when he's, you know, getting that sweet Raising Cane's and whatever else you guys eat down there at the Swig or whatever it is. He's going to be his sour sugar. The sour sugar, dirty Dr. Pepper, whatever you guys do. I don't know what it is. But, or it could be the cocaine. I don't. Right. I got no idea. But.
Yeah, definitely the cocaine.
At the White House. J-Mark, you got a tweet you're going to read here.
Tejo of Kim. I mean, that's one you want me to read, right? Oh, yeah, that's one I said I was going to read you.
Jesus, get your act together.
Never. At first, I thought it was just going to be right in the group chat, but then I realized I have to go to Tejo's profile because, holy crap, that chat is insane. These people just don't stop talking. Shit, Tejo.
Humble brag from Jared. Humble brag, he's in the group chat.
He's in the group chat. The group chat, group chats.
Capital T, capital H, capital E, group Chat.
Well, he's talking crap about Elon Musk. He said, "Then said Elon unto the tweeps, will ye also go away? Then dodge 308-308-882. Answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the place of free speech." I just thought that was hilarious. Tejo, you killed it with that one.
Mark. I have no idea what that means, but it sounds super nerdy awesome. So yeah.
Mark, you know, you probably haven't listened to the pod in 2 years. We do a little produce corner for Marnay. Logan's mom, if anybody want to shout out, go ahead and shout them out on Twitter, on Thread, on Truth Social, whatever you're on.
I wish I knew who it was, and it's, again, kind of off the wall, but whoever did the San Diego State Mountain West to the Seinfeld where George quits his job and then, like, comes groveling back, whoever did that on Twitter, and I've just seen that over and over again. I don't even know who that is, but you made my day.
Simpsons. Like, everyone should go watch that. Like, that's Seinfeld.
Did you retweet it?
Oh, I retweeted it. I could pull it up, but man, just pure gold. Because
that's from some guy named Hunter Miller. Apparently, the Gottlieb guy retweeted it.
Man.
San Diego State. That's the wrong kind of pod for this, sir. Mark, you know.
Look, we're all winning when San Diego State loses. Like, yeah. Come on.
Amen to that, brother. Amen.
But I would be remiss if I didn't give a DJ Honeypaws release the helmets. we're avid helmet collectors here, and we want that Aztec helmet, that really badass one with the Mayan calendar on it.
Yeah.
Anyways, anytime we hear San Diego State, unprovoked, she yells out, release the helmet. So,
shout out to our new High Notes follower who thought we were talking shit on him. Like, and you know, my fault for thinking people understand my tone of voice when I'm tweeting. But to shout out to @Norwegian. So Norwegian is spelled with the zero and the threes as the. So all the vowels are numbers. So 0313. So Norwegian, out there. He was looking for some Jazz Twitter folks. So go follow Norwegian again. That's NRW3G13.
Retweet him from the podcast account. Who?
My podcast account. The podcast account has that point.
Who? Yeah, I remember that exchange. Just Norwegian. Get in there, man.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah, be aggressive. Attack everyone.
Like,
as long as you're not causing harm being a douche, like just a real truly douchebag or pretending to be a black person, you're fine.
I was going to say, what if Norwegian's really 801 Corey, though?
That's the fastest way to grow, according to DJ Honey Paws.
Norwegian might be 801 Corey, though. Like, did I just shout out 801 Corey? I might have, so.
Yeah, you guys are loving him one day, and I said, he's fake. You guys said, and I quote, man, he's been on a roll lately. He's been so good.
You were totally right, man. DJ Honeypaws was feeding you the insider information, though. So
this was like a couple months ago. This is when I was just like letting my pure pettiness of just jealousy of his rise to fame irritate the shit out of me.
The meteoric rise lets you – that she said that's what – that was one of the tipping points.
Logan always wanted to be like – growing up, Logan always wanted to be a good-looking black guy. And so
– Oh, my gosh.
I'm not going down that road right now.
Logan was 801 Corey? What the hell?
No wonder
she knew. No.
Also out to Jonathan Noder.
Corey still listened to this, to be honest. My suspicion is they were a listener of the pod. So it's like one of 70 people.
you're right. They understood some of our niche humor without ever acknowledging
I told you guys a few months ago, and I said he's not real. He never puts any pictures of himself on the internet.
Yeah.
What magically started happening after that?
He
came back and said, y'all missed my selfies.
I moved to San Diego. Yeah, he never posted any pictures of himself, which is... It could be you because you never post selfies either.
We're gonna have
your family members that post your selfies.
If you're worried about the next 3 months of with no Jazz basketball, this is what you're gonna get from hitting the high notes for the next 3 months. Us talk about fake accounts.
I'm just happy that who's reinvigorated. Like, it was a really exciting, fun season, and who never wanted to do a podcast? And he just spent, I swear to God, 15 minutes on a Colin Sexton trade. So
yeah,
it wasn't my cup of tea, but I was happy to see him passionate. So I let him roll.
Yeah, like you can tell how much I hated last season.
Oh, it's very palpable. It is absolutely palpable.
I love that you talked about Colin Sexton so long that Jared thought you were talking about something different with Colin Sexton. Is it the same trade? No, I never proposed a new one. It's the same question. Would you be happy with the only trade I proposed about for 15 minutes?
I just blame it on Jared's ADD. Like, he's always like doing five other things while we're talking Jazz.
It was almost as long as how long it takes Jared to read the little show bet online thing too.
You're not wrong.
It's a good thing I speak quickly. Let's shout out a former coworker that Mark and I had at J Note, JKNOTE12 on the Twitter. He's not gonna listen. He doesn't care. So, Mark, tell him your Twitter handle again.
It's Mask Marv, isn't it? I just looked it up. I was like, I remember this guy.
Yeah. At Mask Marv. Like, again, if you want to get anything, I'm not very consistent on categorization. Utah Jazz stuff, Seinfeld stuff, San Diego State stuff, mental health stuff.
Yep.
Like it's all over the place, but it's a joy. Come follow me. It's a fun ride.
You were you're, unfortunately, Mark, I think you're not a famous jazz Twitter Mark.
No. I'm yeah, not.
You are not. So
I'm not that Mark from Utah Jazz Twitter.
At first, I was like, "Is this that Mark? Is this the other Mark?"
I'm not that Mark. I wish I was that Mark.
This is a completely different.
You don't wish for that Mark,
right? This is a completely different Mark.
It depends. There's a couple of them. Yeah, there's a couple of them.
No. Mark Mueller, though, I do love you, even though you're our friend of me now, because you've blown us off too many times. Never.
He refuses to record a
picture. You're like jazz jargon to us. Yeah. Sorry.
You know, Mark Mueller used to do what Mark Welling did and go to Vegas and be an hour behind. That way that way, he can record at a reasonable time. So.
Hashtag amazing. Yep.
Thanks for – so Jared said he was only going to do this episode if it was a fire episode, and I think we accomplished it.
Oh, dude.
So
we delivered.
We'll see you guys.
I'm feeling some burning. I'm burning.
We'll see you guys next time. And this episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. That's BetOnline, where the game starts.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.